This episode is brought to you by Pronamel.
Not all our favorite foods and drinks are BFFs with our teeth. Salad dressings, seltzers, and fruits can be enamel enemies. So if you eat or drink those things regularly, your enamel could be at risk. And once it's gone, it's gone.
Pronamel Intensive Enamel Repair penetrates deep into the enamel surface, locking in vital minerals to repair acid-weakened enamel. And with new Pronamel Repair mouthwash, you can enhance that repair beyond just brushing.
Pronamel is the number one dentist-recommended brand for acid erosion, so buy Pronamel Repair anywhere you buy toothpaste or mouthwash. Visit pronamel.com.
Ready? Okay. Give me a beach.
Beach!
Give me great food.
Tacos!
Give me adventure.
Hiking!
Give me a date night.
Sunset cruise!
Give me some smiles.
Cheese!
Give me more beaches.
Beaches!
What's that spell?
San Diego!
If you're happy and you know it, San Diego is the place to show it. Book your trip at sandiego.org. Funded in part with the City of San Diego Tourism Marketing District Assessment Funds.
Me. Focus Features presents Back to Black.
I want people to hear my voice and just forget their troubles.
Experience the music and her story.
Know this, I ain't no Spice Girl.
Like never before.
That's my daughter, that's my Amy.
On the big screen.
I want to be remembered for just being me.
Amy Winehouse, Back to Black, directed by Sam Taylor Johnson. Rated R, under 17, not a minute without parent. Only in theaters May 17th.
What's up, this your boy Lil Duval, and check out my podcast, Conversations with Unc, on the Black Effect Podcast Network. Each and every Tuesday, Conversations with Unc podcast feature casual and in-depth talk about ebbs and flows of life and the pursuit of happiness. Unlike my work on stage, I tap into a more serious and sensitive side to give life advice and simply offer words of encouragement, yet remind folks to never forget to laugh. Every Tuesday, listen to Conversations with Unc, hosted by Lil Duval on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by AT&T. Connecting changes everything.
Hello and welcome to Savor. I'm Annie Reese.
And I'm Lauren Vogelbaum. And today we're talking about chicken wings. And we are joined by our compatriot, Ramsey. Hi, Ramsey.
Hello. Thank you for having me.
Thank you for being here.
Yeah, you've come up a couple times on the show. I think a lot of listeners will be familiar with your name. And you and I even posted on our Instagram account a while back because I was trying to figure out how many wings we ate at this wing festival that we attended together. So people might know.
Yeah, for the record, I think you actually ate more than I did at that festival.
I'm very competitive.
And we did close it down, though.
We closed it down, and that those people from the Atlanta Braves, they were leaving, and they had those hats that you had to like win, and you just went up and said, "Yo, give me a hat."
We went home with a lot of Braves hats and some foam hands as well.
I checked, and I ate 28 wings.
28 wings.
Yes, and I never found the ice cream. And like I said in the post, that was the great tragedy of the whole event.
There was ice cream at the chicken wing festival. Mm-hmm. Was it like blue cheese flavored?
You know, I'll never know.
Oh, man.
See? Tragedy. But yes, it is about time for the big game. You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah. As we record this, it's coming up.
The How Stuff Works game night. Actually, you know, I'm both joking, but that's also, we are a big wing office here.
We are.
A mm-hmm. lot of people really love their chicken wings.
Well, Atlanta is a really big wing town.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
But we're going to talk about that.
Sure.
And like I mentioned in our ranch episode with Ben Bolin, the first food stuff video we did was on chicken wings, and it was for this big game that is of the football variety.
We can say it. We can say the word Super Bowl. Like, I know.
They knock on the door. Football jail.
Yeah. Well, it's here in Atlanta, so they can, this year.
That's right.
So they can come find us if they want.
Don't give them any ideas.
Bring chicken wings, though.
You guys are pretty into chicken wings.
Yes.
I will say I am into them now, but they're not my favorite food by far. Like, I would rather eat most other foods before I would eat a chicken wing. And this stems back to the 7th grade.
Ooh.
In science lab, I had to dissect a chicken wing,
And I was so upset about it.
Mm.
Not because I was like, it was just gross. It was just really gross. And I didn't like it. And I refused to eat chicken wings for at least a decade afterwards.
Wow. That had a lasting impact.
It really did. It was so squidgy. Mm. I seriously don't like working with raw meat.
That doesn't sound healthy. I mean, like a health hazard as well. If you're dissecting.
Yeah. I think it's less of a health hazard than a frog.
Yeah.
I've never heard of anybody dissecting a chicken wing.
It's apparently popular. When I was looking, when I was Googling various things for this, the chicken wing dissection project came up in like a lot of my results.
Hmm. I did a frog and a cat and an owl pellet. That's the one that made me vomit.
You did a baby pig.
Oh,
whoa,
man.
Really?
Yeah. I took a zoology class in high school and we did pretty much everything, but with no chicken wings. Jellyfish and a bunch of other stuff.
Well, if you're going to like jellyfish and baby pigs, you don't really need the chicken wing. Like you're basically at a more advanced.
Yeah.
Oh God, just the nerves running. Oh, I'm not happy about it. Anyway,
I can't wait till we talk about how delicious they are.
Mm-hmm.
And I did want to include this quote at the top: a blue collar dish for a blue collar town. And we will talk about what town that is, even though you probably most definitely know what town it is in a little bit. Let's build some suspense here.
Yeah.
And talking about suspense, our question, chicken wings. What are they?
Well, they're the wings of chickens.
There you go.
You heard it here first, folks. When Americans say chicken wing, we usually have a very specific dish in mind. It's a wing with the bony tip removed and then split at the elbow joint into a wingette or flat, the forewing, and a drumette or drum, the upper wing. The pieces are then deep fried and coated in some kind of savory, sweet, spicy sauce, the result being like a handheld snack-sized food with an optimally crispy, crunchy skin on the outside and tender, fatty meat on the inside. It can be served as an appetizer, main dish, or side with usually a creamy dip, blue cheese, or ranch, often with raw celery and carrot sticks alongside. And those sauces that you can serve a chicken wing with are legion.
Yes.
I think the most common are probably buffalo, being butter and hot sauce. Hot sauce here meaning a thin sauce made with vinegar and pureed hot peppers. And then barbecue sauce, lemon pepper, and teriyaki. Rubs can also be applied instead of a sauce, like jerk style, for example. And trends come and go. Right now, I think with the rise of Korean cuisine in the United States, Korean style barbecue sauces are just everything in quotation marks. Yeah, no, those are rising in popularity. I've seen those on a lot of menus.
I have, and this is related, so go with me on this trip. I have a plethora of Katie's in my life. I have a lot of friends named Katie, and like not only friends, but like best friends.
Okay.
And all of them don't like spicy food.
Oh. Huh.
Like not even, I remember for one of them, we would go to Zaxby's after school sometimes, and my mom would, we would have to get wimpy sauce because my friend couldn't have anything above wimpy. And every time I hang out with, there are two Katies in particular I'm thinking of, they're the ones that want buffalo wings. But a lot of restaurants in Atlanta have a very fun naming system.
Yes.
And so it's Buffalo Wild, Buffalo Wacky, Buffalo Fun Style. Like, there's no way of knowing which one is the spicy one. There's no system. Like, with Zaxby's, I can tell. So we usually, like, fail every time, and I just end up eating the chicken wings, and we have to order something else, too. So I would love a, like, you know, dot, like the chili pepper system.
Yeah, chili pepper system.
Something. Because I'm just, like, shooting
just
in the
lost.
Dark and
yeah.
missing.
You could ask the server.
That would require speaking to someone on the actual telephone.
Oh, man.
Mm-mm.
All right. Well, I understand.
Thank you.
And I almost believe that you're not doing it on purpose so that you can just eat a lot of chicken wings by yourself.
Thank you, Lauren.
Well, regardless, recipes for creating said wings differ. Some folks like a little bit of breading, flour or cornstarch. You can bake them or grill them instead of frying. My favorite wings are smoked before being fried. The double fry is considered scientifically superior by some. More on that later on. And lots of restaurants do use pre-processed wings, like they've already been seasoned and battered and par-fried at a plant and then
quick frozen and shipped out to restaurants that just kind of refry them real quick. Nutrition-wise, it's fried chicken.
Yeah. One of my favorite recipes that I make is a healthy one, and I know it's 300 calories for 10 wings.
No, that's not bad.
That's what I usually make for the Super Bowl.
Yeah. Because
as I said in the ranch episode, I don't watch it, but I make all the food associated with it and have a great time.
Yeah. Oh, I mean, they're high in protein. Like, that's not going to – a little bit of fat's not going to kill you. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it varies wildly and widely.
Mm-hmm. Depending on – and, yeah, like, the sauce can have a lot of sugar in it. Yeah. Mileage will vary.
Mm-hmm.
Typically, what I'll do is – I do like a dry brine.
Ooh, uh-huh.
And let them sit for a day or so and then put them in the oven at a high heat and just cook them off that way and then mix like a little sauce, like buffalo sauce or depending on teriyaki style. And I grew up in Southeast Asia, so I have a lot of Asian influences in my sauces and all that stuff that I like to use. And so I'll do that a lot or, you know, whatever I have in the kitchen that I can whip up pretty easily.
You know, We didn't say why we asked you to come on this episode.
No, I'm still curious why.
Because you requested it over a year ago. We have on our idea sheet chicken wings Ramsay, and you're a big connoisseur. So
I do like the wing, and you have had my wings before at game night when I had people over from work at my house.
Oh, that's right. They were delicious.
Yeah. I don't think I had any of those wings because when I came back from the kitchen, they were gone. Which is a good sign that something good was presented.
Yes, absolutely.
Yes, and I promise it wasn't just me.
No.
So, if we talk about some chicken wing numbers, every year it seems we hear about an impending wing shortage around the time of the Super Bowl. Apparently, this is less a shortage and more of a price increase due to supply and demand. An estimated 1.3 billion wings are consumed over Super Bowl weekend in the United States.
And that number is growing year over year by like 10 to 40 million wings.
Ooh.
Yeah. And y'all, that's just over one weekend. One meat industry agency estimated that Americans eat 28 billion wing segments, like drums and flats, every year.
It's a lot of chickens.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hooters. I read that and then was like, wait a minute. No, this is in our notes. Hooters sells 30 million pounds a year. There was a chicken wing heist.
What?
In our home state of Georgia a couple of years ago before the Super Bowl, and the stolen goods were worth $65,000.
I love a food heist.
Food heist. That needs to be a movie. Spielberg, if you're listening. There you go. That's your next one.
Sponsored by Hooters.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's already there.
Oh, yeah. Cool. Chicken wings are a pretty frequent competitive eating food. The current Wing Bowl record, which is a yearly competition in Philly consisting of two rounds of 14 minutes each, is 501 wings in those 28 minutes.
That puts my 28 in perspective.
Yeah. This was accomplished in 2018 by one Molly Schulier?
Skyler. According to the Hamilton soundtrack, that would be Skyler, because that's how they spell the Skyler last name, the Skyler sisters. It's a whole song.
I believe you entirely.
Thank you.
There's a lot of belief coming your way.
I like it. I really appreciate it.
Meanwhile, the Guinness World Record for largest chicken wing eating competition overall is from 2017 when Amazon Web Services included 214 participants.
Amazon Web Services?
Mm-hmm. Jeff Bezos.
Huh.
Making the chicken wing competitions happen. Who knew?
Not me.
Not strictly related to eating, the Guinness record for the most items taken out of hot oil with bare hands in 1 minute went to Khan Trichun in 2010. They pulled 12 chicken wings out of a fryer.
With their bare hands?
Yeah.
Why would you do that?
To get the record, clearly.
It was for an Italian game show. I'm not sure other than that. Like, psychologically, I can't answer that question.
Well, this story is getting more and more fun. if we look away from the wing and at the flavor of buffalo, you can get buffalo-flavored almost anything.
Oh, yeah.
And you can get every flavor of buffalo wing. It sounds like it should be some kind of, like, physics property.
But, I mean, hot sauce is delicious. And butter is also delicious when you combine them. A thing that I have a really hard time not ordering when I see it on a restaurant menu is buffalo grilled chicken sandwiches. Mm. Yeah. If that's on there, I'm basically guaranteed to order it.
There was a good portion of my life, when I say good portion, probably about like 3 to 4 years where I would, if I could get something buffalo style, I would totally do that.
That's it.
And this was when I became, I guess, more food conscious, like where my food's coming from and where it's sourced and all that. I was like, hey, can I just get that grilled but get buffalo sauce tossed on it?
Yeah.
Like I would just like, you know, I kind of healthy, but not really.
Yeah.
I think keep it spicy.
I think I told the story once on this show, but in case I didn't, there's an establishment that's well known in Atlanta called The Vortex, and it's a burger place. And I went on a first date there, and I've made two major mistakes. One, I was wearing a white shirt. No matter what you get at The Vortex, mistake.
Oh, yeah. For me, wearing a white shirt, period.
In general.
That's not part of my lifestyle.
And then the second mistake I made was
Did you order the triple bypass?
No.
That comes with a cigarette?
I know. I did not make that mistake. Making me feel better about myself, though. I ordered the buffalo sauce burger.
Oh.
And, I mean, within a second, just dribbled down all the white shirt.
Yeah.
We never had a second date, but I don't think that's why. It might have played into it. But
I probably would have ordered the same thing.
Here's one. Speaking of ordering, okay, do you guys have an opinion about drums versus flats and which is better?
Oh, I do. What's yours?
Because there's a debate about this.
Yes, there is.
I like drums.
I do too, but I feel like most people like flats.
I like drums as well. That's crazy.
Yeah.
Producer Andrew? Yeah.
We're four for four. Yeah.
Heck, y'all. Stunning. This is rare because most people prefer flats.
Yeah.
Both sides claim that their preferred wing piece has the best ratio of skin to meat to fat to sauce, and that it is also easier to eat than the other type.
Oh.
And that second one is subjective, clearly. but, like, for the record, there is more meat on a drum and more, like, skin, fat, sauce on a flat.
Yeah.
So.
Well, I like the drums mainly because I feel like I don't have to work as much as I do with the flats because of the parts of the bones that are associated with that.
Yeah.
Now, like, the solution would obviously be just eat boneless chicken wings, which I actually like the experience of eating chicken wings. Like, it's like a
– Right.
It's like that finger food that you can go to that you know what you're going to get. Like, you have some sort of beverage with you, and you got your sauce, and you got your dipping sauce, and then you got your vegetables that go along with it. But – so I like the experience, but if I were to be able to order just drums, I would definitely go that route because I think it's a little bit easier.
Yeah, yeah.
And you're not really getting into the bone.
Yeah, you're not digging at it with your little paws just as much as – yeah, I feel like a trash panda whenever I eat wings in general, but more so –
when I eat in general, I feel that way. But I will say I have had wings that were like not – at a restaurant for, you know, 20 wings for $10, but like from a well-known farm in Georgia, and they had a lot more meat on them, and I enjoyed that experience a lot more.
Oh, man.
Because it was less like I'm already at the bone,
right?
Like barely biting anything off. It was like, this is a lot of meat. And also, one of our coworkers, Paul, he won't eat chicken wings because he doesn't like the experience of like having to work
a meat
for
on the
your
bone.
Food.
Yeah.
I have a good friend, Stephanie, who has that same experience. She's like, I will not eat because it just says I want to touch that bone.
Oh, yeah. Oh, no. I like feeling like a trash panda. I'm a fan.
I actually got made fun of in middle school because my mom used to send fried chicken, like one drumstick with me to school for lunch. And I would get all of the meat off and people would look at me as if I was some sort of monster. I don't want to waste anything, okay? And sales of chicken wings have been more than fair. They have gone upwards of billions of dollars a year. In 2013, the number of chicken wing franchises came out to over 1,500, and that number has grown by an annual 11% over the past decade. In other franchises, just so you can compare, the growth is around 3%. The same year, the top 13 wing franchises made $4.1 billion. And if you look specifically at Buffalo Wild Wings, which I have never been to, they made $1.3 billion in 2013. And their sales have gone up by 936% over the last 10 years. In the U.S., wings are now the most expensive part of the chicken, but for most of history, that has not been the case.
Mm-hmm. It's apparently a really volatile market. When they're cheap, restaurants offer such, like, loss leader deals on them that it inflates demand and the cost balloons. Apparently, when McDonald's rolled out one of their wing deals in 2013, it disrupted the entire industry. It was chicken wing chaos.
Not chicken wing chaos.
Nonetheless, yeah, wings are a fairly inexpensive food, except when they're not.
Of course.
Back in 2015, in honor of Super Bowl 49, a Manhattan restaurant called Old Homestead Steakhouse served a dozen wings for $4,900.
Oh, dear.
Each order came with four flavors, covered in foie gras, or smothered in cream infused with a Louis VIII cognac, or coated with caviar. The fourth flavor was Kobe filet mignon on the bone, marinated in sake that costs like $1,000 a bottle.
Oh, my goodness. This is a life we will never know.
Yeah. Stunt
food. For yourself.
you're on the ride. Yeah. Hitch myself to your shooting star.
I mean, on a personal note, that does not sound a good way to eat a chicken wing to me. So,
no.
It just sounds like overindulgence. Like, what can I dip this wing in to make it more expensive?
Yeah.
Yeah.
At least those, like, powdered gold-coated wings that we talked about in our Edible Gold episode, at least those, like it's not going to impact the flavor too much, and, like, you get a fun Instagram photo.
Yeah.
I don't know. These looked gross. Like, they looked so gross that I almost said to all of the people sitting around me here in our office, like, oh, Scott, check out this gross thing. But then they looked so gross that I felt bad doing it.
Whoa. That's saying something.
That is.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But chicken wings are one of those really interesting foods that come from this kind of, like, lowbrow conception that do get kind of celebrated in highbrow cuisine.
Yeah. And you, Ramsey, sent along an essay that you found, and it came out pretty recently, didn't it?
Yeah, it came out this week. Actually, our coworker Pam sent it over to me. She knew I was coming on here because I was nervous about being on the show. And she's like,
"Oh, you're so starstruck by as I know."
I am, you know. She sent it over to me, and I was taking a look at it. And basically, it was written by Erica Hawkins for Munchies on Vice, called "Chicken Wings Are My Culture." And it was really interesting because, you know, it's not really necessarily something I really ever thought about too much, but it talks about how wing culture is mixed in with, like, black stereotypes and all that. And
yeah.
It talks about a little bit about the low and high-end culture of wings, which I, you know, outside the article, have personal opinions because I feel that is definitely wings are for the people. And, you know, some restaurants have definitely increased the value of the wing as high ticket items, or you can't go and spend, you know, $5 to $10 on a plate of wings, you know.
Yeah, now it's like 20.
Now it's 20. It's like, oh, here's three wings for $15. I'm like, wow, that's pretty expensive. But I digress. Anyway, in the article, she definitely brought up, like, the culture and how it's associated with black stereotypes and it being a cheap food source. And she quoted Claire Schmidt, who's a professor at the University of Maryland who does studies on race and folklore. And she said, like, chickens were always been a part of Southern diets, and they had a particular utility with slaves, and they were a cheap food source, and they were easy to feed and a good source of meat. And as it being a food that you eat with your hands, it was also therefore always considered dirty. And table manners are a way of kind of determining who is worthy of respect or not.
Yeah, we kind of talked a little bit about that in our fried chicken episode.
Yeah, like the trajectory of chicken from being a food considered not good enough for upper class people to eat to this thing that, like, in a reverse way, like, held up as a champion of the people by these very upper class humans.
Well, that's the thing in this article, and I am someone who is very out of the loop, I will admit it, of celebrity culture. But it came with examples of, I would say, celebrities who are generally out of touch, or if not out of touch, then they just live a different lifestyle than most of us. Eating chicken wings is a way to say, like, hey, an Instagram
post. I'm still
post,
Jenny from
like,
the block, yeah.
Yeah. And it's just an interesting phenomena.
Well, yeah, she definitely brought it. I think she said, like, celebrities are normalized by eating chicken wings and stuff. And, you know, you can take that either way you want, whether it's, you know, cultural appropriation or what. But, I mean, it's, you know, definitely I'm right there. I'm in the same loop as you. I was like, wow, I didn't know this was a thing, especially when people are dipping them in gold and sprinkling them in with 24K gold dust and then eating them like it's, you know, whatever. You know, it's definitely food for thought.
Oh,
hey.
Well, it is a trend that I would say we're seeing in a lot of places is just this going to a restaurant and ordering a burger that says it has government cheese on it. And yeah, that's $18. I think it's just happening in a lot of places. But this is a particular, it seems to be very popular right now, chicken wings. And we even said at that Wing Fest, what's happening to chicken wings?
Yeah.
Well, and I mean, I'm all about experimentation and, you know, trying new recipes. You, like you said, you grew up in parts of Asia, so you have experience with other types of chicken
wings.
Yeah,
my first remembrance of chicken wings was, so we spent a year in Nagoya, Japan, and they have a style there called tebasaki. And basically what that is, it's a dry brined with black pepper. Usually probably keep it in there, like in a, when I say brine, basically you're doing some sort of science with the chicken.
Like a salting to try like to like salting. Pull out some moisture from it.
Yeah. Yeah. And I do a lot of my foods like that with like my turkeys. I think I told you I dried brine my turkey this year for Thanksgiving. And, basically what you do is you put a bunch of salt on it, then you put whatever spices you want on it. And then those spices are then sucked into the meat through, I guess, osmosis.
Yeah.
And then, well, how that differs from just like a regular brine where you use liquids, it basically the spices are stay inside the meat instead of it going in and out of the meat through a wet brine, I guess you could say.
Yeah, definitely.
Anyway, yeah, so this style is basically is black peppered, brined for a bit. And then they fry it once at a lower temperature. Then they fry it again at a higher temperature. Mm-hmm. And then they put like a sweet and spicy sauce on it. But that was my first experience for chicken wings, which was
so delicious.
Awesome.
It sounds really good.
And it's such like I tried that recipe that I pulled a lot of that information from was actually a recipe I treated my folks once where I recreated that whole wing setup. And it is a process just because of how
if you have to
deep fry something twice, the temperature gauging and that type of stuff, and especially when you're brining something, you know, but it was definitely a treat for all of us to recreate.
But science wise that's how you're supposed to do it from what I have read, and I'll get into that later, but I did also want to point out that I mean, like, America is far from the only place that cooks and eats chicken wings. I ran across a bunch of Southeast Asian style wing recipes that are deboned wings stuffed with, like, basically the things that you would put into dumplings or spring rolls, ground pork noodles made of bean or rice flour, chopped vegetables, stuff like that, and then deep fried.
Obviously.
Yeah, gotta fry.
Sounds delicious.
Deep frying is what brings us all together, really.
Well, we had that terrible, I guess it worked out okay.
It did. We only screamed a little bit.
Oh, yeah.
Did you guys try to break the world record for pulling things out of the fryer?
World record for being the most afraid of frying chicken. Yes, I think we won.
Oh, this is from when you guys started, right?
Yeah, we made a video where we fried some chicken and both of us were very apprehensive, and it showed.
That was like right when I started working here, and it was like one of the greatest days because you guys brought in fried chicken and champagne.
Oh, yeah, we did do that.
I was like, whoa, okay. This happens at work here?
Behind the scenes of that event, So our office manager at the time, she still works here, but she is now not office manager. But Tamika, she sent out an email saying, okay, people who made these videos, because we had to make these 8 videos for Amazon, we're going to show the video. Please request a food item that you would like for this series, because we're going to have
a group lunch and viewing. And yeah.
And I was out at a party, so a little tipsy. And I replied to the email, joking. And I said, obviously, fried chicken and champagne, because that's what our video was about.
Right. Well, mostly about champagne and sparkling wine. But one of our great interviewees said, you know, the best food to eat with sparkling wine is fried chicken.
So I send this email out at 10 p.m. It's so good. 10 p.m. on a Tuesday. And I accidentally replied all. And so... She responded and said, sure thing, I'll make sure that happens.
I think I read that email and was like, I need to be friends with that person.
Afterwards, a lot of people came up to me and were like, hello.
How long have you worked here?
I don't know. But it worked out. I'm glad that was an early experience for you. All right. So all of this intro aside, yeah. We do have a lot of history to talk about with you.
We do, but first we're going to take a quick break for a word from our sponsor. This episode is brought to you by Pronamel.
Not all our favorite foods and drinks are BFFs with our teeth. Salad dressings, seltzers, and fruits can be enamel enemies. So if you eat or drink those things regularly, your enamel could be at risk. And once it's gone, it's gone.
Pronamel Intensive Enamel Repair penetrates deep into the enamel surface, locking in vital minerals to repair acid-weakened enamel. And with new Pronamel Repair mouthwash, you can enhance that repair beyond just brushing.
Pronamel is the number one dentist-recommended brand for acid erosion, so buy Pronamel Repair anywhere you buy toothpaste or mouthwash. Visit pronamel.com.
Me. Focus Features presents Back to Black.
I want people to hear my voice and just forget their troubles.
Experience the music and her story.
Know this.
I ain't no Spice Girl.
Like never before.
That's my daughter. That's my Amy.
On the big screen.
I want to be remembered for just being me.
Amy Winehouse, Back to Black, directed by Sam Taylor Johnson. Rated R, under 17, not a minute without parent. Only in theaters May 17th.
The wait is almost over. Get ready for the 2024 NFL season as the full schedule is announced. Bring it on. Every rivalry, every rematch, every rookie debut, every game revealed. The 2024 NFL schedule release, presented by Verizon, coming in May. Live on NFL Network, ESPN2, and streaming on NFL Plus. Terms and conditions apply to NFL Plus. Visit NFL.com/schedule release to learn more.
Today's episode is brought to you by Discover Puerto Rico.
We've talked in a bunch of different episodes about facets of Puerto Rican cuisine, like the dish mofongo, made of savory, deep-fried mashed plantains studded with some kind of tasty protein, and the creation of the cool, creamy piña colada. But there is so much more there. I've actually never been. You have a tiny bit of experience, don't you?
Yes. Unfortunately, it was a very tiny bit of experience. I was there for about a day. I'm kicking myself for that now. I remember having delicious rums, delicious drinks. But I want to go back because, yeah, so many episodes we do on here, when we're talking about food from Puerto Rico, I want that.
Mm-hmm.
And it sounds amazing. We're trying to get a saver team trip
together. Oh, absolutely. Well, I mean, we're trying to get a trip to a lot of places, but this is really top of the list. Even putting together this ad read made me hungry. I was like, oh, I want to try those things. Yeah, as we've talked about before, there are influences there from African and Spanish and native Taino foodways. The culinary scene sounds amazing, and we want to go, and I'm hungry. No passport is required for U.S. citizens and permanent residents. You can learn more and plan your trip at discoverpuertorico.com.
And we're back. Thank you, sponsor.
Yes, thank you.
All right. Some history. So the deep-fried chicken wing has been a staple of Southern cuisine for a long time. And you can, yes, see our fried chicken episode for more about that. Mm-hmm. If we look at the buffalo chicken wing, or sort of this sauced sports bar, big game trademark chicken wing, that is a bit more of a recent food invention or innovation. Of course, There are multiple versions of this story.
Uh-huh.
But here's the one that you'll see the most that you probably have heard, at least in passing one time. Late one night in 1964, looking for something to cook her son and his friends, the co-owner of the Anchor Bar in Buffalo, New York, Teresa Bellissimo, got the idea to cook some leftover chicken wings in sauce. Sometimes, depending on which version you're eating, it's hot sauce. Sometimes it's melted butter and cayenne, depending.
Mm-hmm.
And surprise, they loved them. So much so that buffalo wings were featured on the menu the very next day. And these wings were served with a side of celery sticks and blue cheese, and they were a best seller. For a little backstory, the Anchor Bar was founded in 1939 by married couple Frank and Teresa Bellissimo. And there is a riff on the origin story above. According to Frank, we owe an accidental delivery of chicken wings as opposed to chicken necks for the invention of buffalo wings. The chicken necks were used as a part of their spaghetti sauce recipe. Frank tasked Teresa with coming up with an appetizer featuring chicken wings, and presto, buffalo wings. Dominic has a different take. In his version, it was a late Friday night in 1964, and at the time, a lot of Roman Catholics didn't eat meat, apart from fish, on Fridays. So Dominic requested that his mom whip up something with meat to hand out for free to the regulars who had been spending a lot of money at midnight once they could have meat. So she went for the cheapest meat she had, chicken wings. Both stories claim that she cut the wing in half, resulting in a drum and flat, fried them sans breading, and doused them in a hot sauce of some type. Both claim they became popular in the city in mere weeks, and where they were and are simply called wings or chicken wings and served mild, medium, or hot. So they're not called buffalo wings.
In Buffalo?
They're just
wings. Just wings.
Just wings. Modernly, the Anchor Bar serves 70,000 pounds of chicken a month.
Wow.
Yeah.
And I bet they don't order chicken necks anymore.
I would bet not. But I kind of want to go and investigate for myself.
Yeah.
To spread the popularity of the dish and to sell some hot sauce, the son of the owner, Dominic Bellissimo, and Dick Wagner, the person who sold hot sauce to the Anchor Bar, went on the road, and restaurants slowly got on board. But there is another version of the story, and it goes that John Young invented the buffalo wing in the 60s. Young told a reporter that growing up in an African-American community, chicken wings was often in the meal lineup. He incorporated that at his restaurant, John Young's Wings and Things, and he added what he called a mambo sauce to his wings. These wings were a little bit different. They were breaded and fried and served whole as opposed to flats and drums. But I feel like this is another case that we see so often of a lot of simultaneous things mm-hmm. happening, and then one person
popularized them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it was probably around a long time before, or at least a decent time before.
Oh, yeah. I think this is like mildly on the record, but I think that I saw reports of at least chicken wings specifically being consumed separately from the rest of the chicken like 5,000 to 7,000 years ago.
Oh, so that's a decent amount of time.
So I think, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and like you said earlier, Lauren, they were certainly being eaten in other countries at the same time, probably before this.
Yeah.
Yeah. But anyway, these are the stories you'll probably see. I've never heard of this place, but I guess it's still around. Duff's Chicken Wing Chain got started in 1969.
I think it's a Canadian thing.
Oh, is it?
I think.
Oh, wow. Listeners from Canada, let us know.
Did you just include the note because of Duff's beer from The Simpsons?
That's what I was thinking. When I saw that in the notes, I saw Duff's beer.
Well,
yeah, then that's one of the things about the story is that beer was always associated, I think, when all their stories, like, we were drinking and we wanted this dish and, you know.
It continues.
And as we talked about in our ranch episode, the capsaicin that makes hot peppers hot in stuff like buffalo sauce, it's alcohol soluble. It's not water soluble, so you drink a glass of water, it's not going to cool your mouth down, but it is alcohol soluble, so you drink some beer, and it's going to get it off your tongue.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Didn't know that.
Yeah. And we'll get into that a tiny bit more later, but...
Sorry.
Yeah, no.
No.
It people got hip to that when they were selling chicken wings. I'm just going to say that. the city of Buffalo declared July 29th, 1977 as Chicken Wing Day. It gave credence to the Anchor Bar origin story, some say because during the 70s it would have been controversial to give credit to a black man.
Absolutely.
Quote, whereas the success of Mr. Bellissimo's tasty experiment in 1964 has grown to the point where thousands of pounds of chicken wings are consumed by Buffalonians in restaurants and taverns throughout our city each week. And, yeah, people, if anyone is from Buffalo...
Oh, please write in and let us know what it's like.
Yes, please. Please.
Yeah.
In the meantime, we have more history for you. But first, one more quick break for a word from our sponsor.
This episode is brought to you by Pronamel.
Not all our favorite foods and drinks are BFFs with our teeth. Salad dressings, seltzers, and fruits can be enamel enemies. So if you eat or drink those things regularly, your enamel could be at risk. And once it's gone, it's gone.
Pronamel Intensive Enamel Repair penetrates deep into the enamel surface, locking in vital minerals to repair acid-weakened enamel. And with new Pronamel Repair mouthwash, you can enhance that repair beyond just brushing.
Pronamel is the number one dentist-recommended brand for acid erosion, so buy Pronamel Repair anywhere you buy toothpaste or mouthwash. Visit pronamel.com.
Focus Features presents Back to Black.
I want people to hear my voice and just forget their troubles.
Experience the music and her story.
Know this,
I ain't no Spice Girl.
Like never before.
That's my daughter, that's my Amy.
On the big screen.
I want to be remembered for just being me.
Amy Winehouse, Back to Black, directed by Sam Taylor Johnson. Rated R, under 17, not a minute without parent. Only in theaters May 17th.
The wait is almost over. Get ready for the 2024 NFL season as the full schedule is announced. Bring it on. Every rivalry, every rematch, every rookie debut, every game revealed. The 2024 NFL schedule release, presented by Verizon, coming in May. Live on NFL Network, ESPN2, and streaming on NFL Plus. Terms and conditions apply to NFL Plus. Visit NFL.com/schedule release to learn more.
Today's episode is brought to you by Discover Puerto Rico.
We've talked in a bunch of different episodes about facets of Puerto Rican cuisine, like the dish mofongo, made of savory, deep-fried mashed plantains studded with some kind of tasty protein, and the creation of the cool, creamy piña colada. But there is so much more there. I've actually never been. You have a tiny bit of experience, don't you?
Yes. Unfortunately, it was a very tiny bit of experience. I was there for about a day. I'm kicking myself for that now. I remember having delicious rums, delicious drinks. But I want to go back because, yeah, so many episodes we do on here, when we're talking about food from Puerto Rico, I want that.
Mm-hmm.
And it sounds amazing. We're trying to get a savor team trip
together. Oh, absolutely. Well, I mean, we're trying to get a trip to a lot of places, but this is really top of the list. Even putting together this ad read made me hungry. I was like, oh, I want to try those things. Yeah, as we've talked about before, there are influences there from African and Spanish and native Taino foodways. The culinary scene sounds amazing, and we want to go, and I'm hungry. No passport is required for U.S. citizens and permanent residents. You can learn more and plan your trip at discoverpuertorico.com.
And we're back. Thank you, sponsor.
Yes, thank you.
And we're back with an aside about Hooters and Buffalo Wild Wings.
Okay.
So these places started opening in the 80s, and they gave chicken wings center stage on their menus. I've never been to either of these places, but I believe
really?
That is a fact.
Heck.
Yeah.
How did you avoid it? Okay. Please keep going.
Okay.
My first Atlanta wing experience was at a BW3's Buffalo Wild Wings.
Oh, my goodness.
And it was not because of choice. It was because of where I lived at the time.
Oh, yeah.
And that was like the closest. I was like driving around. I was like, I can go for some wings. And then
bloop.
And that was like my only. I've done it a couple more times, but it's kind of like a bleak experience. They black out all the windows. Well, I think we're going to talk about it. Like, it's a sports bar.
Oh, okay.
So they black out all the windows because of glare. They don't want the sun to come in.
So people can't see your shame.
Yeah, it's not like a Vegas thing. It's like, let's just don't, they'll forget about time and then they'll eat all the wings and
Okay.
Yeah, so,
are you sure?
Yeah.
Yeah. My ex-boyfriend, we dated for 3 years, and, you know, there are tiers of restaurants. So you have a favorite of, like, fast food. You have a favorite.
Sure.
So he loved Buffalo Wild Wings. It was one of his favorite of that, like, specific.
Genre.
I don't want to throw him under the proverbial chicken wing bus. But he loved Buffalo Wild Wings, and perhaps that says something about me that I never went with him.
That does, I think.
I've got some things to think about later. But, okay, many think that the first televised mention of Buffalo Wings happened in this decade, too, on the Today Show. Buffalo Wild Wings, by the way, was founded in 1982 after a fellow who had spent some time in Buffalo, New York, realized he couldn't find any good Buffalo Wings in Ohio. I feel like I've read a lot of stories of chains that started that way.
Oh, yeah.
Nowadays, they have 16 sauces and stores all across the United States and Canada, and you heard the numbers at the top. They are doing just fine.
Mm-hmm.
Buffalo Wings hit it big in the 1990s when they made their way onto the menu of some McDonald's. You might have heard of that. Across the country as Mighty Wings.
Oh, I do remember that ad campaign.
Do you?
Oh, there's so many McDonald's ad campaigns that are just right in the back of my brain. That's terrible.
Very effective
anyway.
On McDonald's part, though. Following that example, KFC debuted Hot Wings a year later, and Domino's Pizza did the same in 1994. We told you we'd be bringing up that date again.
Mm-hmm.
It's an unmovable date in the timeline of food. They spent $32 million on that rollout, by the way.
What?
Mm-hmm. But I'd say it was successful. Another thing that brought a lot of awareness to Buffalo Wings might have been, definitely was, the football team, the Buffalo Bills. They were around during the early 90s. I guess they're not around anymore.
They're still around.
Jeez. Jeez Louise.
I know very little about professional sports, but I know that the Buffalo Bills are still around.
I apologize, Buffalo Bills.
Annie is not denying you.
No.
Don't worry.
My bad.
Unsubscribe.
Congratulations for bringing a lot of awareness to one of my favorite foods. I do appreciate it. In 2001, Buffalo kicked off its inaugural National Buffalo Wing Festival. By 2015, it was seeing 70,000 attendees per year who were eating 25 tons of chicken wings.
Around 2006, an innovation in meat plant technology made wings cheaper and safer. Up until then, workers had been separating flats from drums by hand with, like, band saws or similar equipment. But then a segmenter was developed to reduce dangerous labor and increase output.
Oh. By the way, in 1993, Philadelphia hosted the inaugural Wing Bowl eating contest, which we mentioned at the top.
Right.
Still going. McDonald's Mighty Wings appeared on menus again, starting in 2013. But this begs the question, why are chicken wings such a big football food, other than, obviously, they're delicious? The answer lies with timing. In the 60s and 70s, Americans cooked and ate whole chickens, but boneless chicken breasts became all the rage in the 80s. And this meant that chicken wings became an inexpensive byproduct. Restaurants realized they could offer these wings for cheap, but speculated the spiciness would boost beer sales.
Ah.
It all comes back. They were correct. Simultaneously, more and more bars were outfitting with satellite televisions, and most of these televisions were playing sports. This was the birth of the sports bar, playing multiple games across multiple TVs. In the United States, football, that is American football, was the favorite among sports fans to watch in bars with friends. Chicken wings were a relatively cheap, shareable protein that lent itself to such a gathering. And it went well with that oh-so-popular sports drink, beer.
When you say sports drink, I think like Gatorade.
Gatorade.
I guess beer is the second sports drink. Yeah, sure.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. I do have some friends that there was a study that it's one of those studies that I'm like, you just did this to justify something to yourself. But there was a study that came out a couple years ago that said, scientifically, it's good to drink beer before and after you work out. And I was like, you just want to drink beer, don't you? That's all it is. And now, fast forward to now, you can get
expensive chicken wings at nice restaurants.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Ramsey, you had a little bit of a note that we said we'd come back to about Atlanta being a wing town.
Yeah, so Atlanta is known as the lemon pepper hub of, I guess, the world, possibly, the United States. So you got your buffalo wings, but I would say that Atlanta is definitely referred to as the lemon pepper. And I think all the thanks goes to our hip-hop rap culture that we have here as far as all the artists that kind of rap about wings and where they get their wings and how they like their wings and all that. In particular, you know, you got Gucci Mane. He has a lemonade song where he talks about he likes his lemon pepper wings. And you got 2 Chainz. He has a song called Hot Wings that's actually recorded at an American deli where he's rapping about eating chicken wings. I mean, it's definitely part of our culture here in Atlanta. And I don't think I ever had lemon pepper wings until I came to Atlanta.
Oh, yeah. I don't think I had either.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think we all of us here have our favorite spots to get wings and stuff like that. But, like, you know, there's still debate of where to get the best wing in Atlanta and, you know, what serves the best style and how you want to cook it and how you want to eat it and all that stuff.
Yeah, it's funny. In the article that you shared, I unfortunately am not up to date with the show Atlanta, but it was like a plot point in there.
Oh, yeah. It was totally a plot point. Like, they went to J.R. Crickets.
Oh, and that's right.
They got lemon pepper wet. Like, you go into a store, you're like, hey, how do you want, to, like, wings? You go, lemon pepper wet. And, like, that's how you get your wings. And we have I wouldn't call it a epidemic. We have a problem around Atlanta where if you look on the street, if you get off the airport, you're probably going to see a chicken bone.
Chicken wing bones.
Chicken wing bones specifically. From your time you get your bags to when you get in your car, you'll probably see a chicken leg, chicken bone anywhere. Like, there's an Instagram account called Wings of ATL, which I subscribe to. And it's funny because, like, you would literally find wings all over Atlanta.
Yeah. Once someone points it out to you, it's one of those things, like that word that you've never heard before, but then you hear it once and suddenly it's everywhere. Yeah. Once you start noticing it, you're like, oh, no, we eat a lot of chicken wings.
Yes.
And we eat them apparently on the go. Mm-hmm. And sometimes there's no trash cans.
Yeah.
And so that's just, I mean, they are biodegradable.
It's true. I do probably, I walk everywhere that I can. And anywhere I'm walking, I will see chicken wing bones.
I love that about the hip-hop culture celebrating chicken wings, because it is such like a food of the people. And when you're talking about segments of your life that are, like, to you, just part of you and part of what it means to be you, and especially something that is kind of bucking against these negative stereotypes that have been put out about people who look like you for so many years, it's really wonderful to have people just go like, yeah, I like chicken wings. What? They're great.
Yeah.
I also love the specific ordering of, like,
oh, yeah.
Wet and dry. Just
oh, yeah, no, a lemon pepper rub is totally different, and I cannot necessarily approve of it.
Lauren's message of the episode, strong opinion, love it.
Yeah. And for me personally, like, I don't go – if I see wings on a menu, I'll there's certain places I'll order them, and they arguably have some of the best wings. But, you know, you got your J.R. Crickets, and that is definitely a staple here in Atlanta. And you got your other restaurants, like I mentioned, American Deli and other places that, you know, it's just really dependent on where you like to get your wings. You know, for me, there's a place I was like, oh, this is great wings. I had never had smoked wings before.
Oh, yeah.
And, like, I remember I could go there and I could spend, like, $7 and I could get 6 wings. And they come with, like, side of fries. Now you go to that same spot, and it's like $12, $14. I'm like, that's not, I'd rather make wings myself, enjoy them, eat them the way I like. You know, obviously I'm not smoking them, brining them, and deep frying them twice and all this other stuff all the time. But yeah, you know, it's definitely, wings for me have always been wing for the people, you know, food for the people.
Yeah. And I'm always kind of curious with, like, well, was it that we just weren't paying for something that we should have been paying for? Like, what did you say about the tomato? Like, do we just have to pay more?
Do we just have to get used to paying a fair price for tomatoes? Yeah. I mean, and that does work into, especially when you're talking about this number of chickens that we were, like, what was it? I forget the ridiculous number, like over 20 billion chicken wings or chicken wing segments.
I think it's like 28 billion.
Yeah, per year. yeah, you're getting into food production questions at that point and how to sustainably and morally raise that number of animals and pay workers to do that thing and processing, not letting people get their hands cut off during processing, all that kind of fun stuff. Yay, food.
Yeah. I mean, it's always good to ask those questions. We're big proponents of that. And we're also big proponents of some science.
Yeah. All right. So my very favorite Serious Eats writer, one J. Kenji Lopez Alt, did some serious wing experimentation. And he arrived at a few methods for producing superior chicken wings. All right. Wherein superior, by the way, is meant to mean super crispy on the outside, super tender on the inside, without using any kind of breading or dredging, which he considers cheating.
Ah, I love it.
Yeah. So he found that to crisp a wing to its full potential without drying out the meat, you want to fry them twice. Initially at a relatively low temperature for a relatively long period of time, say like 250 Fahrenheit or it's about 120 Celsius for up to 20 minutes to cook the meat and gelatinize all the stretchy, stiff collagen in the skin and the connective tissue. Then let them cool down a little bit and briefly refry at a hotter temperature around like 400 Fahrenheit or about 200 Celsius. And this lets a few things happen. And I find it so interesting that, Ramsey, you were saying that special recipe that you did that one time. This is like exactly how you did it.
Oh, yeah.
So first, the now soft skin can expand more as escaping water vapor pushes and bubbles it outward, so it stretches out thinner. Second, the initial low temperature of the fry allows the wing to retain a lot of internal moisture while driving out some of the external moisture, meaning that the proteins in the skin that brown up so beautifully can get right to it. Quick frying means that your chicken won't soak up grease and get soggy. Mm. So nice and crisp.
Mm-hmm.
He also tested a few methods for oven-baked wings that are just as or almost as good as deep-fried. The secret there is getting rid of some of that external moisture, again, by drying the wings in an open pan in the fridge overnight, coated with some dry brine, basically, some baking powder and salt. And the salt we talked about earlier, the baking powder, I didn't have time to, like, really scientifically figure out what was going on here, but it improves browning for a number of complex reasons involving the alkalinity, the Maillard reaction, peptide bonds in the proteins in the skin, and carbon dioxide bubbles.
So a lot of cool science stuff.
Of cool science, little bit of baking powder. You don't want too much because then it tastes like baking powder, which is metallic, and you don't really want to eat very much of that.
No.
No. Mm-hmm. Not, I mean, or maybe you do. I don't know your life.
We don't. We don't. I'm going to have to try that out because the healthy ones I mentioned earlier that I make, I mean, healthier.
Healthier, sure. Less oil, that's healthier, sure.
Yeah. I bake them.
Yeah.
So.
Yep.
I'll have to give this a whirl because, you know, the game's coming.
Oh, it is.
The big game.
Is that a movie? It better be a movie.
The big game?
The big game. I think it is.
There's the game. That's completely different.
I'm sure.
And there's big.
There's big.
That's also different.
So combine the plots of those two movies and we are ready to go.
Oh,
I kind of want to see that movie.
I know. Poor Tom Hanks.
Michael Douglas.
Tom Hanks and Michael Douglas. I'm telling you, call us.
Hollywood.
Isn't there a remake? Never mind.
Well, I think this about brings us to the end of this episode. Thank you so much for joining us, Ramsey.
Thanks for having me, and feel free to bring me in. Like I said earlier, I when I was asked about it, I definitely didn't want to wing this.
Oh.
He's very good with the puns. He's pretty sharp.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I would say that between, like, the two of you and, like, maybe Jonathan Strickland and probably Ben Bolin, like, this office has some really good pun game.
Yeah,
and we do.
Oh, man, I don't want to see that kind of competition, though. Like, that would be, it would get ugly. It'd be a Thunderdome.
Well, we did play Thunderdome.
Oh, true. But, Ramsey, you work on a lot of cool projects around here. Would you like to mention a couple of them?
Sure. So I produce two shows here, and one of them is Movie Crush with Chuck Bryant from Everyone Knows from Stuff You Should Know. So I co-produce that with Noel Brown, and then I also work on, I think my main show is Committed with Joe Piazza, and basically that one is marriages that are different than the norm, kind of like This American Life, but for relationships.
Oh, yeah.
If that makes sense.
It does.
So, yeah, we're kind of now gearing up for the second season of that, which is kind of occupying my time here.
He is also in our D&D campaign.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
Kilroy Roboto.
Kilroy Roboto. And, yes, that is from the song Mr. Roboto. We're all very clever around here. Yes, so thank you.
Thanks so much.
Hey, I'm including myself in that. Thank you again, Ramsey. To anyone who is listening, whether you're gearing up for this big game or not, if you have any chicken wing recipes or thoughts, please send them our way. You can do so at our email at hello@saberpod.com.
We're also on social media. You can find us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at SaverPod. We hope to hear from you. Thank you again to Ramsey. Thank you to our super producers, Dylan Fagan and Andrew Howard. Thank you for listening, and we hope that lots more good things are coming your way. This episode is brought to you by Pronamel.
Not all our favorite foods and drinks are BFFs with our teeth. Salad dressings, seltzers, and fruits can be enamel enemies. So if you eat or drink those things regularly, your enamel could be at risk. And once it's gone, it's gone.
Pronamel Intensive Enamel Repair penetrates deep into the enamel surface, locking in vital minerals to repair acid-weakened enamel. And with new Pronamel Repair mouthwash, you can enhance that repair beyond just brushing.
Pronamel is the number one dentist-recommended brand for acid erosion, so buy Pronamel Repair anywhere you buy toothpaste or mouthwash. Visit pronamel.com.
Life in our modern age comes at you pretty fast, which makes our time away especially valuable. When I take time to relax, I like to get far from my everyday life, immerse myself in natural beauty, and have unique experiences. But you don't have to leave the U.S. to experience tropical rainforests and islands filled with adventure, warm culture, and national treasures. Visit Puerto Rico, an island with a vibrant spirit that will sweep you away. Because when you visit, you don't become part of the island, it becomes part of you. In Puerto Rico, you can forget where you came from and embrace where you are. Puerto Rico, where visits end, but stories last forever. No passport required for U.S. citizens and permanent residents. Learn more and plan your trip at discoverpuertorico.com.
The wait is almost over. Get ready for the 2024 NFL season as the full schedule is announced. Bring it on. Every rivalry, every rematch, every rookie debut, every game revealed. The 2024 NFL Schedule Release, presented by Verizon, coming in May. Live on NFL Network, ESPN2, and streaming on NFL Plus. Terms and conditions apply to NFL Plus. Visit NFL.com/schedule-release to learn more.
Are you looking for the perfect move-in ready home this spring season? Now's the time to buy at Fisher Homes. For a limited time only, enjoy below market interest rates starting at 5.375% APR, 6.139% APR. With these exclusive lower rates, you can save hundreds on a move-in ready home and start enjoying the benefits of homeownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with one of our new home specialists at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home. Financing provided by Victory Mortgage, LLC, NMLS 461249, Equal Housing Lender.